Today is the 30th of November, 2021. It's a Tuesday. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this Lotus Sutra, a wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutra. We are using the commentaries by Venerable Master Xuan Hong. We are on page, according to your PDF, it's page 7, volume 1. Then those using the hard copy, we are at page 11 actually. So we'll off the light and we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So just relax body and mind completely and maintain awareness so that you can realize your true mind, to be aware, just aware, no need to do anything. So remember the four support, relax, maintain awareness. The third support is stabilize the awareness, means develop the ability to be aware for as long as you can. Theoretically is over the entire waking moment, then later on into your resting moment. Means almost 24-hour awareness. After that, the last support is when you are already stable, able to be aware most of the time. Then you can relax, maintain awareness, and stay there. And allow the nature to do its meditation. Means you trust that nature to do its meditation. So the last support is just trust. Trust means let things be. Let the awareness nature move. Develop whatever activity it wants to develop. Then you observe through that silence, through the awareness. Then you will start to develop a lot of understanding of the form and mind, who you are, what you are, and also how you function as a human being. And what their nature is, then you will have clear understanding of the two mind, the true mind, which is also your silent mind, your meditative mind, and the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind. So all this is what we call meditation. So now I will set the alarm and let you continue with your awareness-based meditation. We are on the section on the 8 teachings. So now the commentary is explaining the 4 methods of teachings. So these 4 methods of teaching, they are the typical, what they call, classification of Mahayana tradition. So the first two are the normally taught. The first teaching is called the sudden teaching, which we have covered. So this one, like I said, it belongs to the southern school of winning, the sudden teaching. Then the second one is the gradual teaching. So this one is the northern teaching of Sun Tzu. Then after that, they have the third. They call it the secret teaching. So I will continue from here. The secret teaching taught by the Buddha refers to mantra. So these are mainly mantras. So these mantras are very unique, very powerful. So when the Buddha speaks the mantra, he teaches in a way, because this mantra is such that people cannot understand what this is. So it's like a secret teaching. So here, Master Xuan Hua explains, secret means talk to one person and the other person doesn't know. Means specific to that particular person. Then after that, he said, talk to one person and the other person doesn't know. Talk to the other person and the first person doesn't know. Each is unaware of the teaching the other has received. Thus, it is secret. So this is the way Xuan Hua actually described it. But this one is seldom, put in as a core teaching, because the teaching using mantra is unique to the Buddha and all the great beings, like the great compassionate mantra, Surangama mantra. So a lot of these are mantras. So if you know how to do it, then it has its particular efficacy. And this one are termed secret teaching, but it's normally not widely practiced or cultivated unless people has affinity with this type of teachings. Then the fourth one is referring to those that have the Dhamma. So after you have the Dhamma already, you awaken already, then you can actually teach the fourth type. The fourth type is the unfixed teaching. The Dhamma is taught in an unfixed manner, which means it's not rigid. The Vajra Sutta says, Dhamma must be relinquished. Means you cannot cling, you cannot hold to even the Dhamma. It's like the rough analogy. So when you develop that understanding, then it is easy to understand why this teaching is unfixed. No specific method or technique or rigidity in its approach. So this unfixed teaching comes about because Dhamma is not fixed. The Dhamma is dynamic. So the Dhamma that is dynamic, how can you follow a method or technique or a rigid way of teaching? You can't, because everything evolves, dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena. So when it's a living Dhamma, you have to accord and flow with condition. Condition like that, things will like that. Then specific living beings, sentient beings, they are all very different, karmic wise. Their past, their conditioning, their training, and everything that involve that particular sentient beings. So because of that, Dhamma that has to be taught in that particular manner, based on wisdom and understanding, this one only the great beings who has the enlightenment and the understanding and the wide exposure can teach. Otherwise, it's not easy. The normal sinhood, we don't have this ability. They can teach, but not to this extent. That's why during the time of the Buddha, Sariputta at times, even though he is foremost in wisdom during the Theravada tradition period under Sakyamuni Buddha, there was one, I think, new monk that he's supposed to guide. So he gave him some meditation object that is not suitable. And that monk really can't. He tried very hard, but he can't. Then finally, the Buddha actually knew why. And he told Sariputta, he said, you call that monk to come over and meet up with the Buddha. Then the Buddha gave him a different meditation object. It seems the meditation object that Sariputta gave to him is to develop the urgency of practice and contemplate on death. Whereas the Buddha gave him a new meditation object, the Golden Buddha. So when he used that as a meditation object to meditate, he developed very strong faith and confidence and joy that his meditation progressed very fast. Then at the point when he was deep in his meditative joy and cultivation, the Buddha knew that time is appropriate for him to awaken. So the Buddha used his extraordinary psychic to cause the golden Buddha to decay or deteriorate and disperse. Then that monk straight away realized Arahantship, awakened to the whole principles of Dhamma. That's why, because of that, not everyone can really teach this fourth way. So this fourth way, you have to bear in mind that it is the unfixed teaching. It is based on Dhamma being dynamic, because it is life itself. So life itself is from moment to moment. There is no rigid pattern of life. You cannot say everybody must live life like that, like that, like that. No. That is your individual views and opinion of things. But when it comes to life, existence, everyone is different. Every country, every civilization, every culture, every society, they are very different. So this unfixed teaching is the most appropriate and suitable. So if you can have the ability to teach that way, then it's very good. So he said, Dhamma that is dynamic is separate from all attachment. So it is said, one bestowed the teaching for the sake of the individual and prescribed the medicine accordingly, according to whatever illness. According to the person's need, one prescribes a certain medicine. In the same way, the Dhamma is spoken to counter an individual's specific problem or specific way of understanding the Dhamma. Not to mention hearing the explanation of the Dhamma to our sutta, merely hearing the name of this sutta enables one to plant all kinds of good roots. So this is the amazing part of this Dhamma Flower Lotus Sutta, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. It is not easy to have an opportunity to hear even the word or the name of this sutta, that is the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. Then we turn to the next page. Yeah? Thus together there are eight teachings. Whereas initially are the four type of teaching, then the four method together, four plus four is eight. Thus there are eight teachings which were taught in the five period that the Buddha actually covered. The five period are also known as the sunrise period. So this one is the Avatamsaka Sutta. Then the next one is the period of bright illumination, followed by the period of reflective illumination, the period of level illumination, and finally is the period of high noon, the final period, which is also the Lotus Nirvana Sutta period. And during this time, there were not even any shadows. So this is an analogy. The five periods and the eight teaching encompasses all of the Dhamma the Buddha spoke after realizing Buddhahood. The Buddha taught the Dhamma for 49 years. So here, in the Theravada, is different. Mahayana used 49 years. I don't know why. But under Theravada, is actually 45 years. Maybe I think they include the 6 years where he was under training or what, I'm not very sure. But based on our understanding, he left the palace at the age of 29. Then he actually tried and learned under some other teachers of other tradition. Then finally, he learned everything that they can taught him, and yet he knew that is not what he want. What he want to achieve or realize is the understanding of life. His problem is the four signs. He saw the four signs. He saw an old man, a disease, suffering person, so sick person. So he realized this reality of life and existence is something he cannot overcome, because when he saw the old man, the sick man, and the dead man, the attendant told him, everybody, if we live long enough, we will grow old and become like this person. We will get sick like that person. And finally, we will die. Then straight away, the Bodhisattva at that time, Sakyamuni, before he became the Sammasambuddha, he realized he has a problem. Because despite what the Father has given him, the four seasons, the four palaces to cater for the four seasons, and all the beautiful, what they call the life that is free of this, what they call old age, sickness, and death. Because the Father, the King, was warned, if he sees this sign, he will leave the palace and become what they call spiritual person, and he will seek the truth. So the Father want him to take over the throne and become the king. So the Father put him under that contained palace condition so that he doesn't see them. But one day it seems he wanted to go out and have a look. Then the attendant took him and he saw. That's why he immediately came back and made the decision to renounce. He said, all this happiness, joy, and youth, or whatever that the Father has given him, has no more meaning. Because this is not permanent. This is not something that will last. Finally, he will still get old. He will still get sick. And he will still die. Which means all this that he is enjoying and having is not going to last. And his problem will arise when he gets old, gets sick, and finally die. So all the jhanas that he achieved and realized doesn't help him, because the physical body goes the way of nature. He will still finally succumb to this old age, sickness, and death. That's why he knew he has a problem. Then he left the teachers, Lara and Udaka. Then on his own, he cultivated. And finally, after 6 years underneath the Bodhi tree, he finally developed the awakening, because he was able to connect. The sign all came, then he knew it is going to happen. And he also knew his nature is different and he is destined for enlightenment before the prediction, everything. That's how he actually moved on and developed the understanding to actually avoid the two extremes. Means sensual self-motivation and sensual indulgence. Then he tried the middle way. He don't modify his physical body. He know he knew he need the physical body to actually help him develop the healthy body to cultivate so that it's conducive. So all this understanding surface that he recalled when he was young during the harvesting festival as a child, how he was very well fed and he was very serene, very peaceful, and when he meditated, he was able to develop that type of mind. Yeah. So from there, he decided not to do all those self-modification, which is a wrong view. So after he developed this understanding, he started to eat. He started to receive offering and food. Then the five ascetic that were with him decided to leave him where they thought he was not serious anymore, until the condition came about when the lady Sujata offered the milk rice, because she made that vow to have the causes and condition to offer the milk rice to a bodhisattva that is about to become a samasambuddha. That's how all these things happen, the condition tied in. So when we look at all this, according to Theravada recorded history and text, we realize at the age of 29, at 6, is 35. Then he is parinibbana, he passed away at the age of 80. So 80 minus 35 is 45. Yeah. So that is the supposedly correct period that he teach. But Mahayana put here as 49. Yeah. So it's okay. No need to argue. We just accept. They must have their reason. Yeah. So the Buddha taught the Dhamma for 49 years in over 300 Dhamma assemblies. And it was all for the sake of the Dhamma Flower Sutta. Means this Lotus Flower Sutta. Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. When he spoke the Avatamsaka Sutta, means the first period, those with the disposition of the small vehicle or the Theravada tradition were unable to accept it. Later, he hide the great and manifest the small. No longer did he expound the lofty, profound teachings, but instead, he spoke the simple and straightforward Agama doctrine, means the Agama period of his teaching, which is the Xiaocheng or Theravada tradition, to lead those of the Agamas. The Buddha spoke later the Waipuya teaching, progressing step by step. So from Avamtasaka period, he moved on to the Agama. Then Agama, he proceeded to the Waipuya. He next teach the Prajna teaching, so that his listener might gain wisdom. With wisdom, they would be able to graduate to follow the wonderful Dhamma of the Dhamma Flower Sutta. That's how the teaching come about. So initially, during the Avatamsaka period, a lot of those sainthood way, smaller vehicle, cultivator, they cannot believe or understand the teaching and they refuse to follow, because to them it's like, this is not possible, not right, it's so different from what they have realized. So this is how the background behind the five period. However, the Dhamma Flower Sutta is extremely difficult to encounter, extremely difficult to hear them, just like the opening statement of the sutta. When the Buddha spoke this sutta, 5,000 of his disciples stood up and walked out. These are the ones that follow the Theravada tradition. Mm. As soon as they hear the Buddha speak, they thought, this Dhamma is utterly unbelievable. We cannot believe it. Think of it. When Sakyamuni Buddha spoke the Dhamma flower Sutta, 5,000 of his own disciples woke up. From this, we can see that it is very difficult to believe. For this reason, when the Buddha spoke this sutta, he said, stop, stop, stop. So maybe before I continue, I would like to share a bit more. Because for other traditions, especially Theravada tradition, who are not used to Mahayana teaching, when they try to read Mahayana sutta, they don't like the introductory part because it's like, in Cantonese, it's like very kuajiao, it's like unbelievable and all those things. Oh, they always mention about how many of the bodhisattvas, mahasattva, the great beings, all those things. The celestial beings, the cultivator, the enlightened ones, they all congregate, they come together to listen to the teaching and form the assembly. And the assembly, because all these were great beings, cultivator of that level, then when the Buddha spoke, it's the mind-to-mind seal. They can't understand. Sometimes like the Surangama Sutta, Mahakasapa, yeah, I think the Buddha actually held the lotus and smiled. So Mahakasapa saw and smiled back. The transmission is already over. The mind-to-mind seal already transmitted. So a lot of this teaching, they are from mind-to-mind, nature-to-nature. No need to go through words or the traditional way of learning the teaching. No discourse, nothing. So you cannot blame them for doing that. So not until you really develop the understanding of the practice, the cultivation, and the understanding. Initially, my advice is have an open mind. You read the Amitabha Sutta, it was still. They describe the Pure Land as everything is covered with jewelry, very beautiful crystal and all those things. And like it's a perfect utopia with all those vibration and the teachings, cultivation and all those things. They even describe to you the building, the floor, the decoration, everything. So if you don't have that understanding and your mind is not open, you will straight away think, what the what is going on? Where was such teaching? Means if you are a cultivator, you will not go and build such a way place and all those things with such luxury and glamour. So all this is what the mundane mind will think. So in order to avoid all those things, the best is when you read the opening statement of the sutta or the initial introduction of the Dhamma assembly and all those things, have an open mind, just go through, then read on the sutta and develop the understanding of the cultivation. Then you will come to know why all these are possible and why it has been documented that way. Okay, so this is a point I want to share before I read on. So according to this commentary of Senhua, he said, the Buddha says, stop, 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 means don't walk out. I will not speak this sutta. I won't speak the Dhamma Flower Sutta. Then Sariputta asked, why not? My Dhamma is wonderful and hard to understand, the Buddha said. The Dhamma of this sutta is extremely wonderful but hard to understand, and these people won't be able to believe it. It would be better if I didn't speak at all. However, Sariputta, the chief disciple of the Buddha, insisted on asking Sakyamuni to speak the sutta. That's how it happened. Sakyamuni Buddha labored for several decades preparing to speak this sutta. So it seems for 10, 20 or years, I think, or 30 years, he prepared the provisional teachings. So Sakyamuni Buddha labored for several decades preparing to speak this sutta. For the sake of the real, he first bestowed or teach the provisional teaching. But those provisional teachings were all given for the sake of the wonderful doctrine of the perfect teaching, the real mark, the Dhamma Flower Sutta. So the period preceding this Dhamma Flower Sutta, the preceding Dhamma assemblies, they are the Agama period, Vaipurya period, and the Prajna period. They were all spoken to pave the way for the Dhamma Flower Sutta. This may be compared to building a road from San Francisco to New York. So this is Xianhua's analogy. Yeah? When the work begins, it is for the sake of eventually arriving in New York. After several years of hard work, the road is finished. But although it is completed, there will be those who will not want to go on that road. You wanted a road? They may say, and now you have got it. But we are not going to travel on it or use it. So it was with the 5,000 disciples who decided to walk out because they couldn't comprehend and understand. Now we are explaining the Dhamma Flower Sutta, and the entire universe will emit light. The Buddha and Bodhisattvas of the 10 directions are especially happy. So if you read this, I tell you, if you don't know Mahayana and you are not exposed to it, you may think, what is going on? So I read again, you try to comprehend his deep meaning. He said, now we are explaining the Dhamma Flower Sutta, and the entire universe will admit light. Not just the area where Sakyamuni Buddha spoke the sutta, but he said the entire universe will admit light. The Buddha and Bodhisattvas of the 10 directions, means all over the universe, are especially happy. We who investigate the Buddha Dhamma should take time from our busy schedule to come and hear the Buddha Dhamma. This is the most wonderful of all suttas, and we should pass up the chance to obtain the wonderful. If you don't obtain the wonderful, it becomes unwonderful. So everyone should not remain unwonderful, but should discover the wonderful. If you wish to obtain the wonderful, you must first advance great effort and persevere in your investigation of the wonderful Dhamma. It takes solid determination to understand this kind of wonderful Dhamma. So the other reason why this style of Mahayana Sutta is very difficult is, like I always say, these are for great beings who has already developed the perfection and awakening and understanding. So Mahayana Sutta, like the Heart Sutta and many other of these Mahayana Sutta, even the Diamond Sutta, the Sarangama Sutta, and there are various sutta, including the Lotus Sutta, Infinite Meaning Sutta, and all those things. So take for example the Heart Sutta. The opening statement already tell you, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. If you don't explain, people find it very difficult to accept. In fact, during the early days, I remember, because I used to started my cultivation actually from Brickfield Temple, Theravada tradition. Then I used to do the recording. Then I used to hear all this type of comment at the back of the hall where people sit to listen to the Dhamma or Dhamma talk. There are people at the back who are discussing and say things. So, and I used to hear this kind of thing because I think they cannot understand. They were so conditioned because they are only exposed to Theravada tradition. There, a lot of them seems to have this idea. I don't know how the conditioning came to be for them. He said, you believe Mahayana Sutta. The first thing they say is, where got such thing? Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. He said, form is form. Emptiness is emptiness. How can form is emptiness and emptiness is form? What type of teaching is it? Then he said, the Pure Land teaching, chan, 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 no need to meditate, no need to cultivate, no noble eightfold path, no four noble truth, also can become enlightened. So you tend to hear all this. But please, my advice is, have open mind. Don't simply comment unless you really have the understanding. Then the worst part is when they read the Heart Sutta further, in true emptiness, there is no old age, sickness and death, no Dhamma, no Fortune, everything also don't exist. And you say, what the hell is going on? What type of teaching is this? The Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths. Noble Eightfold Path, all is sickness and death, the eight reality, everything. And here, this Maya teaching say, all this don't exist. But they don't understand in true emptiness, that word, in true emptiness. But this is the unconditioned Dhamma. The Dhamma of great beings who have developed the cultivation, the practice, and the perfection to a very high level, which they penetrate until they go beyond the understanding of traditional provisional teachings. So for people who don't have that type of understanding and training, it's just like, I give you a simple analogy, you will understand. Like we go to school, our education system, let's say, you are only able to go to maybe kindergarten, primary school, then maybe lower secondary. You're not even exposed to secondary school. Then even some go to secondary school, they will have a different understanding compared to the lower secondary. Take for example, maths, science, and certain type of subject. When you are in the primary school, they only teach you arithmetic. And what is it? Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. So that is what arithmetic is all about. You go to form 3, it's also more or less like that, but maybe nowadays syllabus is different. They got more things. But basically, the primary school, they only know this form. Then when you tell them, maths has many other things, especially upper secondary or form 6. Then you go to university, more things. You say that there is differential equation, calculus, and all those things. Then they got this, what they call, very special maths, the higher maths. Later in the university, we study the Fourier series and many other type of mass, which we never heard before. Then this primary school guy will tell you, hey, there is no such teaching. My teacher already taught me everything, just addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. That's why they will argue you. They won't believe you. They say there is such subjects and teaching and higher maths or further maths. They won't believe. Then when the teaching come in the form of modern maths, they are even more confused. Even during my time, I don't really study modern maths. We were not exposed. There was no need during my time. But later on, I was told my children, they all study modern maths. And when I was in the university, I also heard about it. So these are the reason why I said, if you have not completed the full training, then it's just like you only did kindergarten, primary school, or lower secondary. Then whatever beyond you, you cannot understand. And all those things that is taught in the upper secondary, the college, the university, then they also have postgraduate courses like master degree, PhD, and a lot of specialization. So all this shows very clearly that if we are not exposed to all this training, or we have not developed the understanding of this training, it is advisable that we have an open mind, because unless we have the training and the understanding, then we can discuss things. Otherwise, you cannot use your limited exposure and understanding to outright tell people that no such teaching. The teaching is wrong. Because primary school, lower secondary, they cannot understand all this complicated maths, especially additional maths. Art students also cannot understand. That's why only science students. Then later on, those who study, want to study engineering or physics and all those things, they study pure and applied maths, which were the more complicated type of maths. Otherwise, if you do arts, you only need general maths, very general. Then form five, you need additional maths. Then after that is the further maths, pure maths, applied maths, then university, different again. So hopefully with this explanation, you all can get a grasp of the extent of the teachings different. So when you understand this, you will refrain from commenting. That's why I say have an open mind that will protect you. Otherwise, a lot of people get themselves entangled into coming obstruction unnecessary. And when they slander the true teachings of the Buddha, you will get into a lot of trouble. Why must you go and argue and comment when you cannot understand those type of teachings? Have an open mind and just be sincere. You can understand. You say you can understand. You cannot be sincere. Yeah, this is beyond me. I don't know. I have an open mind. If you do that, then you are safe. There will be no coming obstruction. Otherwise, the coming obstruction can be very, very severe. That's why do pay attention to what he shared today. Because all this while, I didn't go deep into the explanation, because our earlier sharing is we don't have such luxury of time to explain all this. But now, during this pandemic period, where we are in no hurry to do all these things, so we can share slowly. That's why I like to go through all this type of Mahayana teaching, so that it will establish the base and understanding or kayamitas to develop the understanding, then you won't argue with people. You don't create unnecessary misunderstanding and conflict. And through all my sharing over the years, my observation is, especially the initial years, those who are exposed to pure Theravada, they tend to have this type of coming obstruction behind. And they are very rigid in their approach. Their mind is not open. Very difficult for them to accept that type of teachings, because they cannot relate. They cannot actually develop the understanding that they are the same. Like I always explain, you understand Theravada, you can understand Mahayana, no different. There is no such thing as esoteric teachings, other teaching or what. It's the same teaching. When you understand, you will know how to meditate and develop the understanding to go into your nature, your true mind. But at the provisional teaching, the Buddha cannot teach all this. If he teach all this, it all will go crazy. It will take you umpteen years, because they are so conditioned by thought-based. They start with thought-based teaching, and everything they do is using the thought. Suddenly you tell them, no thought, like Hui Ning. So, like if I start during the early day, I teach you the four support, relax, maintain awareness, silent, then let the nature move. I tell you, everybody will run away. Because everybody learn the traditional methods and technique and the teachers and the Theravada tradition. So you can't at that level teach that type of teaching. Their form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. That's why I had to go back to basic, essential Dhamma, and slowly teach the provisional teachings so that you develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma. The essential Dhamma is very important. The essential Dhamma or the Theravada is the foundation for cultivation. But the problem with today's situation is the Theravada tradition, the essential Dhamma's deep penetrative understanding has been lost. Very few people can connect and link and explain what this thing is and how the cultivation is supposed to be. They don't even know what mindfulness is, sati, awareness. That's why they cannot penetrate. And they think sati is memory. They always, through the commentaries, say it has a lot to do with memory. Which in a way is not wrong. Because memory is recollection. When you recollect, yes. Because when you are mindful, when you are aware, you actually experience all this. You saw all this. That's why you can recollect from memory, because you are aware. Like if you are mindful and aware, you keep your purse somewhere. Then when you take it out and what you do, you are aware of all the movement. Then whether you put the credit card back into your purse and your purse is with you in your pocket or not, you will know. Even handphone also same. Then a lot of people sometimes, the spec, they don't know where they put. Yeah, they are not aware. So when you are not aware, you cannot recollect. You cannot recall. Because when whatever you are not aware, you cannot recall. You become like heedless, lost in thought and all those things. So that is the one that prevents the teaching from coming out. Yeah, they relate to memory. Memory means what? Like the chanting, commit to memory. Actually, it is different. It is the ability of the mind that is aware to recollect what is aware of. It has control. That awareness has nothing to do with the thought, nothing to do with the memory. But if you need to recollect through the awareness and relate to the memory, you can. So this is where that teaching become very difficult to understand. That's why they cannot share, they cannot teach, they cannot explain. Then the silent mind, the two type of mind also, they cannot differentiate or understand. But in the Theravada teaching, they always talk about one type of mind only. Mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things are. They talk about the mundane mind, the dependent originating mind, condition arising. It's about the dwelling, the teachings. They are all the conditioned Dhamma. But when it realizes unconditioned, it's mentioned specific that the enlightenment that you will realize is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. That nibbanic cessation and all those things. But people don't know what those things are. That's why they cannot realize that. And they don't know that there is a Buddha nature, the true mind, the true nature. Well, all these are only taught in the Mahayana Sutta, mentioned in the Mahayana Sutta. But in the Theravada Sutta, you hardly hear about it. You only hear the word Nirodha, cessation. That's it. Yeah. Then, Paticca Samuppada, Anicchang Dukkhang Anatta. But the Anatta meaning is very powerful. That in their teaching, there is Sunyata. But it's never taught. They have the word, but nobody knows what that thing is. So, because of that, the teaching like become no more, it no longer has its potency to awaken cultivator and living being. So because of that, it is not easy. And I don't blame them. That's why when I started also same in the year 2004, I thought people need Dhamma. So I thought the five aggregates of all my three turning and all. Then nobody understand. Then finally I reverse back to the essential Dhamma basic teaching. That's why Sri Anne Thursday class, every time the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, the three evil roots and all those things. Yeah. Then for number two, three turning, slowly I integrate in that. I link all the Dhamma. Then you all start to understand why the Buddha say you have to reflect the five daily contemplation. Why you must keep precepts from the right view, the three right view. All these are not in the real understanding of Theravada tradition's teaching. That's why you need somebody who understands to link for you and to explain for you clearly. So hopefully with this, we can actually develop deeper understanding, especially for Kayamita. Okay, I'll stop here. Now we will open up for meditation, reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
Brother Teo, first of all, thank you for sharing this Lotus Sutra.
Yes.
I have not heard of this Lotus Sutra. But Brother Teo, I just want to tell you something about this Lotus Sutra.
Yes.
Although I have not heard, I suddenly remember I went to the exhibition of the Lotus Sutra. And I don't know what is that. Yeah, I went there a few years ago, I went there and I went and see. I mean, I only look around, see, read a bit of the history and things like that. I captured the important, it's not that I know that it's important, it's just that they said a very important chapter you must know is chapter 25. I also don't know what chapter 25,
Yeah.
Suddenly saw this. That I went for the exhibition without knowing what. And then now, Brother Teo is teaching Lotus Sutra. So it's so amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It will help in the understanding. Yeah, this is a very good and important sutta. If you go through, you will understand the five period of teachings that the Buddha taught. So when he started, it was the Avantasaka Sutta, which is for higher beings, very profound, they can't understand. Then I think the Buddha also realized, like what I realized when I wanted to come out to share. But initially, I don't want to share. After 89, after I understood what this teachings is, Then I realized, I said, how can living being understand? Well, what I have realized is the opposite of what living being do. Well, I was in the Theravada tradition. I helped do the recording. I listened to a lot of sharing, a lot of talk. Then the people at the back end, I attended retreat and all those things also. Yeah. Then the way it's been taught and popularly accepted was the traditional teaching, which is so different from the true teaching. That's why after that, I tell myself, this teaching is too profound. Nobody can understand. Just let things be. That's why I didn't do anything from 1989 until 2004 when Yunjian came. So 89 to 2004 was almost 15 years. 15 years, like winning was with the hunters, but I'm more fortunate, no need to be with the hunters. I was actually having good life. After that, I tested myself by going into the private sector to do my engineering consultancy and later on join a public listed company, a corporate company, to experience the whole career path, the whole career profile, whatever that a civil engineer can go through and develop the understanding, exposure and learning. I actually covered the whole thing. That's why I said I reached the pinnacle of my engineering career, civil engineering. So because of that, I retired in the year 2001. 2001, I remember Labor Day. So when I retired and called it a day, because simple life, my daughter graduated, my son didn't go overseas, like my daughter. So not much of a burden for me because I saved at least $1 million because both didn't go overseas. But I do my part. Because they didn't go overseas, I gave them some good thing to start off their life. So that was how it is. Then, not until Yunjian came, I didn't even want to come on chat. And when Yunjian came, initially I rejected the request 3 times because I said, just let things be. Because my initial not to say, I don't know what word to use. My initial is not fear or worry. It's like concern. Yeah, concern. When people don't understand, hear me share and speak, which is so unorthodox and opposite of what they used to hear, they may simply say things and karmically they will get into trouble for nothing. So out of love and compassion, not to cause this thing, that's why I refrain from coming out to share for so long. Then suddenly after the third request from my heart, the nature, suddenly the voice speak. Hey, it's about time you come out. Because this is the condition. Everything has fallen into place. That's why the request came 3 times. Well, then I start to, like, within my nature, my concern is all this. Then that nature tell me, you can set condition to make sure all this concern can be mitigated and taken care of. That's how I come out with the 3 conditions. It's mentioned in the website. Now I call it Dhamma sharing, not a one-way traffic and all this thing. Then no right, no wrong, to avoid trouble and all those things. Then we are here to share the understanding. So I respect you for what you are. You respect me for what they are. Then whatever that is useful, we make use of and we move. And then it will mitigate all those concerns. Then everybody is happy. So because of that, I came out. Then when I came out, I thought people need Dhamma. When I share, I realized hardly anybody can understand. Then that time I even told a lot of time that whoever who can even understand 10% of what I share is already very good. People don't believe, you know, that time. They say, what is all this? This Tao Te Rāda teaching, they can understand. But not the cultivation side, the penetrative understanding. That's why I have to accommodate a lot of things that they do. That's why I told them, you can do and start off with whatever method, technique, or chanting, or whatever. Yeah, even mantra or what. No problem, I say. At the Theravada or Mahayana, no problem. You only have to understand what is meditation. That's how I soften the thing and teach in an indirect way. So I allow the tradition, orthodox teaching to actually remain. But indirectly, I try to straighten their understanding by telling them, you have to understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. Otherwise, you become gullible. Because all these method and technique never define the meditation. I have to approach it from that point, soften it. Then I have to explain why it is not the meditation. Because these are all series of instruction to do things. What is a method? What is a technique? Has nothing to do with the Noble Eightfold Path. So when you explain it so clearly, people start to understand. If it's just a series of instruction to do things, then they were asked to do what? To actually train the mind, to be mindful, to be aware. But some people don't understand. They use it to focus, to concentrate, and to develop jhana, concentration, and honesty. That's how the thing go wrong and get into a lot of funny meditation. Then also because they fail to understand what sati is and awareness is, that's why it's very difficult to actually teach. Then I had to explain, because of the five mental hindrance, the lack of the five spiritual faculty, they become heedless. The evil roots arise, the five mental hindrance arise and make them heedless, lost in thought. That's why they cannot meditate. So in order to overcome that problem, they don't know, they have to stabilize their five spiritual faculty. So instead, they go and use method, technique, and concentration to actually prevent their mind from wandering off, lost in thought. That's why they want to anchor the mind. But the Buddha's intent on Anapanasati is to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath to stabilize your sati. That's why if you don't stabilize your sati, you cannot meditate. And to stabilize your sati is to go into the state of mindfulness and awareness of the object of meditation so that you don't think, so that you are calm and peaceful. And that is to develop the spiritual faculty of sati, then stabilize it to develop samadhi. Then you can see things as that. That is how the teaching has to be understood. But it's not taught in that way. Every aspect of the essential Dhamma is taught like a separate teaching. The five mental hindrance separate, the five mental hindrance separate, the five spiritual faculties separate, the three evil roots separate, everything like separate. And right view also hardly anybody understand. The Noble Eightfold Path also, their teaching is not really there. It's all very theoretical. So because of that, I have to go through all this and develop until today. That's why I start with the provisional, skillful means, end up with the higher teaching. And now I can speak freely because most of them, most of your Kayamita has been following me for quite a while. And through the retreat, we have developed the understanding. That's why now it's very easy to comprehend and to understand. So based on that, I like this Lotus Sutta is because the Buddha's time, he also encountered this type of problem. That's why when he started sharing the Avatamsaka Sutta, his own disciples, so many walk out. And this is true, despite the fact that he's a Samasa Buddha, because to them, it's really, you cannot understand. It's just like if I come in and start this higher teaching, the Huineng Hallmark of Zenja, nobody will stay. Everybody don't understand what is this. Don't use the thought. They use what? silence your mind. To do what? No need to meditate. So no need to focus, no need to concentrate, no method, no technique, no vipassana. Oh, that's why everybody will run away. So the reason for all this provisional teaching is because the living being need it. The sentient being need it. That's why you have to use your own understanding and skillful means to actually bring forth the provisional and try to explain to people so that they understand. Then later on, after they understand, then only you introduce the prajna teaching, the higher teaching. Then only people can actually have the faith. Where if you don't develop it to an understanding and show to people how you yourself, from this understanding teaching, you transform and your life change. And you can help people to develop the understanding to help them change over to a better way of living life. So when they cultivate according to the essential Dhamma, following the advice of the Buddha, they realize their life change for the better, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, they become different, and their life become beautiful, meaningful, wonderful. That's how people start to have confidence in you, in your teaching, in your sharing. Then they realize you are not greedy, you are not dogmatic, you are not like very rigid in your approach. On many occasions, they used to come and tell me, "My brother, you very liberal. You never say follow you cannot follow others. Follow you cannot do other type of meditation. You can, they can go anywhere." This is what the Dhamma is. Where it's a living Dhamma, dynamic. It's not the rigid type. It's not the one that kiasu one or they scared you go and learn others. You follow others, don't follow him, so he lose his follow. For me, it has nothing to do with me. My duty is, if there is condition to share, I will share. After that, it has nothing to do with me. Whether you agree, don't agree, follow, or you don't follow, nothing to do with my nature. It's the Dhamma, my vow, I need to develop the fulfillment of it, because I vow to take them across. And when they have the causes and conditions to encounter my nature, to listen to this teaching, the rest is up to them. Then my duty is to teach them how to understand the teaching, how to break karmic obstruction. That one is not really in the Theravada teaching. The Theravada teaching got asked for forgiveness. But not the deep teaching of repentance and all those things. So all this, after our this discussion, after explaining all this to you all, by now I believe it's very clear already. You listen to this sharing today again, you will start to understand how we came to what we are today. It's not easy actually. And the Buddha encountered the same thing. That's why he also started with the Avatthasilla Sutta. Then he revert back to the basic teaching, the provisional teaching, before revealing the real, which is the prajna teaching, followed by the mayana teachings. So all this can be understood, can be related, can be like accommodated and understood clearly. There is no difference. Okay, Pocheng, you better continue your sharing. So after you visit the exhibition, how? What happened?
I don't have much understanding of Mahayana, although I attended Mahayana classes. Okay, but yeah. Anyway, I was kind of like interested, like, you know. So I went to the exhibition and I go around and see a chapter by chapter, but I have no idea what is it, brother.
Very typical.
Yes.
Last time Gu Moy also told me the same thing. He went to Pho Kong San, the Mahayana one, but he doesn't know what is going on inside there. Yeah.
But this exhibition is not in the temple, it's outside. This one is not conducted by the temple. This one is the external
organized exhibition. By some
group, I do not know. But anyway, yeah. I went because I wanted to understand a little bit about Lotus Sutra. So I went. I just looked through all the chapters, the so-called summary of the chapters. Okay, and then it was emphasized that you should focus on chapter 25. I think if I recall it correctly, it's chapter 25. You know, but anyway, I look at it because it's all summary, very short one. Cannot connect what is it all about, you know. But I was like amazed, the sutra on lotus, you know, lotus flower. Yeah, I was just that amazed me, you know. So but the exhibition was very very beautiful, brother. A lot of lotus flowers. Well, I take a lot of picture of the lotus flower. but I don't have those photos anymore with my old phone, you know. Anyway, it was very, very, very well done exhibition. Now what I'm saying.
And
now that you talk about the Lotus Sutra, it reminded me of the exhibition I attended. It's like I can learn it now. You know, seriously learn it from Brother Theo. You know. And so far, the last three lessons that Brother Theo, including today, right, the third lesson, everything is about the teaching, how like Brother Theo explained, how it started off. And then the amazing part also is like 5,000 disciples walked out from his teaching. So if let's say Brother Theo teach and many people walk out also, it's nothing surprising. Since Buddha
I didn't want to come out and share earlier on for 15 years because I know if I were to share, the way I understand is the opposite of what people do. That's why this type of teaching, you cannot just teach like that. It is very, very different. And it's complete opposite of what is, I should say, logical. And society like logical thing. Not logical, they say, cheese, what type of teaching is this? What are you trying to teach, is it? Where got such teaching on? No mind, no method, no technique on. Then that nature, what are you trying to tell people? That's how you cannot understand. But it has its causes and conditions. That's why I say the fourth method, which is the unfixed teaching, is the one you have to come up with your own understanding and skillful means to actually bring out the provisional that end up back to teach them the real understanding. So over the years, things has worked out very well. After 2004 until now, it's already 16 years. We are 2021 ending already. So 2021 is 16 plus, almost 17 years. So it's longer than when I realized the Dhamma and didn't do anything. That one is 15 years. Then after that, now, 16 years of sharing, a lot of things can happen. The sharing has become so different. Our website, everything, our transcript, and our video, and many of these important Dhamma understanding and the whole cultivation has been clearly laid out, explained, and recorded. That's why this is the ultimate aim of allowing this teaching to continue because of our IT era. Civilization has this type of ability to help us to develop all this website and all those things. Then everything falls into place. Our Kajimita fund is quite healthy. That's why we can actually support our own annual subscription and fee to have this type of what they call antivirus. We have to protect our website. It was attacked many times. Every time you have a website, you don't spend money on security, you'll be attacked. And when it's attacked, it's very troublesome to actually to get it back. So what we did was, because Brother Lau, Sui An, Jin Hao, and many others who help out, gave us very good advice. So we subscribe for all those important security websites and reputable websites. And it doesn't cost much, actually. I think our maintenance is about 1,000 plus or 1,000 over ringgit a year. And this one only Kayamita Fund can do. Other people cannot do. Then every time we will have auto backup. That's why now we are not scared of anything go wrong. If go wrong, we can go back to the backup. Then the backup will have a full set of the copy up to that date where we backup. So based on this premium security that we buy into and subscribe for, we are now so far so good. No trouble at all. Hardly any trouble. Last time, previously, after the first few months, I remember, keep on kena attack. Then Jin Hao, they all had to, together with Brother Lau, go and sort out. Then Brother Lau was very good. He sort out, then he let us know, then he advised us what to do. That's why we were lucky to have him, and we should thank Sui An for recommending Brother Lau. Yeah, he was Brother Sui An's expert. He helped a lot of people to do this Dhamma website and other type of website. That's why he's very experienced. So, Satyo. So, all these are very beautiful. Now, you continue, Fojek.
Yes. Virtue, firstly, I want to show my gratitude to, of course, Brother Teo for coming out to teach the Dhamma, and Sister Yun Chan again.
Yeah, you should thank Sister Yun Chan.
Without Sister Yun Chan, nothing
can happen. All this won't happen.
Correct. So, Maha Sadhu to Brother Teo and Sister Yun Chan, you know, for this opportunity that that we can all learn the Dhamma, you know, together. Yes. So I expect this Lotus Sutra to be very, very good, because from the exhibition, although I don't understand much of it, but the impression I get is all the beautiful pictures, you know. Actually, although the description is very little, but there are many, many, they put in a lot of effort in exhibiting, you know, the chapter by pictures, you know.
Yeah.
Even they have those, how you call that, huh? Beside picture, they have models, the models of the they put up the model to show you, you know,
it's like
chapter.
During the early days, the life history of the Buddha. So that one, they use picture to depict the different period where he lived his life. So in the olden days, this way of sharing is easy. It's like teaching primary school students.
Yes.
They like books with picture. The teacher will teach them how to sing song and all those things, and develop the understanding, tell story. So this is a very good old way of establishing the sharing and the understanding of the Jataka story and the life history of the Buddha. So I believe what you described just now, the Lotus Sutta, they also, the organizers also find it useful to draw the picture. Yeah, inside a lot of the sharing, the chapters that we are going to go through, they have a lot of those sharing that can be put into picture form. The wheel, the card, the parable, the prediction, and all these things.
Actually, Bratio, they actually built a mini of that thing, you know, you know, so you can go in and explore, you know,
see,
you know. So it's a miniature of that place, you know, of that place that they want to depict, and then you go in and explore and see, you know. So there's so much to see. So my impression is that I mean, I have the deep impression of all those things that I see, lah, but I cannot understand the story, lah, you know, at that time, because this is like, without any understanding, you go for the exhibition. I mean, you just enjoy the ambience, the whatever exhibition that you get, lah, you know, and the beauty of the flowers, you know, that time.
But the exhibition itself, the lighting. Yes. The mural. The art and all those things. Then sometimes they got very nice audio
the mural,
music.
The art, Very nice. Mm. Yes, very, very nice. I was like, now if they show it to me, it gives me more value, you know, because
you can relate better. But once you know the teaching, you go into all these exhibitions, you can see a lot of things that you never see last time.
Hopefully that it will show the exhibition again, you know, if there is opportunity. Because I don't have any idea of the teaching, and then I go and see it. And then now if I have started learning already, and I go and see
it's very different again.
Even more
Very different
enhancing,
again.
You know. It will enhance my understanding and the experience, you know.
I remember during the early days, during Vesak Day, some of these temples, they actually have those exhibitions, but these are small scale because they don't have the fund and the money and the ability to do big scale things. So there are quite a lot of this type of program. So if you are mindful, aware, and you have the Dhamma, you go, you look at the drawing, you will understand why they share like that. Then the one that have better understanding, they will share in a better way from the presentation and other things. That's why when I see some of this with some form of understanding, my nature rejoices. I say, this is a very good exhibition. Then they get the kindergarten Sunday school children to draw, to develop the faith of the Buddha. And the enlightenment photo and all those things, the drawing. So many. Then they have books also, of course, for free distribution, some for sales. Then they have their own activity. So because of the pandemic, now I think it's more difficult. Otherwise, last time, a lot of this type of exhibition around. And sometimes they join force to organize. I have visited some of it with the Kayamita in the early 20s.
But Bertio, to me, I do not know much, but the fact that they make such a big grand exhibition, it means a lot, you know, that this is super important sutra, you know, correct or not?
Yeah, but it's to attract people to go there. So those who have affinity from the past, you will be attracted to go there. But it's just that condition. Because if it does not draw you to the teaching, then actually it doesn't serve much. But because of your good parami, as I just now when you mentioned, you thank my nature and Yuan Chan for creating the condition for this to be possible. The other thing that you have to understand is also a lot of the Kayamita's affinity with the Triple Gem and my nature, especially with the Great Wings. Because of that, and because my nature's vow and all this thing, as I all these conditions set into motion, what is meant to be. That's why Maitreya came, Kuan Yin came, and the message came. And my nature moved. Then when the time come, why for 15 years I had to lie low? Because you all are not ready. If I come out too early, a lot of you all will miss my teaching. Because I will be with different batch of people. Then if the first batch, the 2007 and 2008, the incident didn't occur, then most of the recent bash, mainly from Sui An side, Subang, and after the 2008 when I started sharing at Subang and all the temple, all this will not be possible. But because it's meant to be, like my nature, new condition is such, I have to come out already. That's why Maitreya actually came and request for my nature to come out and share the true teaching. 请你把正法传下去, repeat that 5 times in golden letter coming out from the Maitreya's laughter. It was so beautiful, that was so vivid, that after that everything happened, I didn't do anything. That's why it's meant to be, will be. So you all should thank your good karmic nature. That's why I said you all have your past. You are unique, but you all don't believe. A lot of you all may not believe. But when the time comes, you see so many of the Kayamita, suddenly they become different and they progress and they move. And they can develop the understanding. Like today, I had a lunch with, I think Sister Yun Chan, Raymond, where they intend to take me out for lunch. Then Papa Suri also called me, also want to take me out for lunch, and Brother Tim also. So I said, might as well combine. So that's why we had a small group, we go for lunch today. So we talk about this thing. Yun Chan rejoins and said, oh, but you, a lot of your karmita now has connected and developed the understanding, which is very beautiful. Then I say, yeah, it can be done as long as you have faith. You have the, what they call understanding. Just develop the sincerity, the faith and persevere and just cultivate accordingly. Then all these are possible. So with this understanding, you all will know what to do. That's why you must be sincere. You must have the faith and you must persevere and really go all out to cultivate, to develop the understanding, listen to Dhamma attentively, then reflect, contemplate, then go through the daily religious routine, develop stability or daily mindfulness, then cultivate, develop heedfulness throughout the day, develop the religious routine, cultivate, take the bodhisattva vow. You will progress and you will move very fast and you will connect and become very different. So this is very beautiful. In fact, a lot of Kayamita has benefited from all this sharing and understanding and the training. Okay.
I strongly believe faith, sincerity, and perseverance, you know, to cultivate the Dhamma.
Yes.
But
yes,
like everything, you know, like everything we do, we want to do well, we really must have the patience in our cultivation.
Yeah, yeah,
cannot
yeah.
rush into it.
Correct.
Because if you rush, your thought will come in and disturb you, you know?
Yes.
If you rush, your thought will come in and disturb you. Then you have the, you don't
no,
have
the
sati
doubt.
Anymore.
The doubt and all those
gone.
Things.
Yes.
Because
yes.
to
so,
have patience, so, to have patience, you must have the endurance. So endurance comes from perseverance. If you persevere, then you have patience. Then patient endurance is kanti, is a perfection, a parami. That's why when you are sincere, you have the faith and you are willing to persevere, then you just do, patiently do. That's why I always say, don't try to know. Just do. Because when you try to know, chances is, it's trying to analyze, it's trying to reason. Why you want to know? When you meditate, don't try to know. After that, you can reflect, contemplate, and develop understanding. No harm at one. But don't always go and like want to know. Oh, am I already there? Have I progressed? Is this the way? Is this what Brother Teo meant? Is this what the Buddha meant? You do that, it becomes analysis. Because the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. So just do. Don't try to know. Just do. Have faith.
Yes. Yes.
Be sincere.
Rathia, I agree. Fully. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Rathia, yeah. I agree fully. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's in our daily life, we really need to watch, observe ourselves. You know, you really
yeah,
need
yeah.
to observe yourself.
Yes.
If you observe yourself closely, at least we will not, how you say it, in our daily life, for example, for me, I'm trying to like observe myself very closely,
observe.
At the same time, I anchor myself to my kaya and also my feeling. So from the feeling, I learn a lot of myself.
Yes.
My pleasant and unpleasant, like and dislike. And
your
at the same
reaction.
Time, yes, yes.
Mind to what happened, the sense experience that stirred the mundane mind. Then how you function as a human being. That's why through this awareness we did, born of training the kaya and stabilizing it to go into feeling, you develop understanding how feeling can create craving, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, and how it stirs your mind. Then how you need to straighten your view to develop equanimity so that you are not heedless anymore. So that whatever happens, you can come to terms with the reality, be at peace with it. So this is what cultivation is all about, self-observation. And you have sati, mindfulness and awareness, when you can stay with your feeling, with your citta, content of consciousness, with dhamma. Then when you focus your training on the four foundations, you realize you are being heedful, ever mindful, constantly meditating, cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, the three turning everything. We have the four foundations of mindfulness is the one that anchor your mind to the appropriate foundation to develop sati. Kaya is to stabilize the sati. Because when you are with your kaya, you are always with the moment. Your kaya is every time in the moment. That's why the silent mind will arise. The stability of awareness will be there. Then with that stability, you can stay at the feeling, like I say, it will not run. At the moment of contact, at the moment of sankara activity, the reaction, the stirring, you see them clearly at the moment of consciousness. So all these are possible. Then you will have the understanding of how you behave, how you become what you are. That's why we call it self-knowledge. And through this self-knowledge, we straighten our view to make ourselves more and more wise, so that we can come to terms with the reality of the moment, to accept what is. Then we will develop new understanding. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Conditions like that, things are really like that. Mighty nature rolling by. Everything is just the way it is. Anicang, dukkang, anatta, sankara, anicang, sankara, dukkang. So all this will fall into place. That's how the Dhamma cultivation transforms the individual. That's how you develop the progress. That's why you have the joy to see all this, to develop understanding. You learn so much from being mindful. You only start with feeling. Later on, the content of consciousness, you learn more. Then Dhamma, you learn more. So all this is part of the cultivation. That's why finally, whatever you do, you have to come back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. The embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path factor must be there. That's why you will go through all the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. So all this, you will see clearly. So when you can have the ability to see all this, means your cultivation is on the right path. Then you will rejoice, because you can check against the sutta, the Avijja Sutta, or the 10 steps. Then you realize, wow, the 10 steps are so clear, so beautiful. And it also meshed with the Satipatthana Sutta, then all the other seven factors and like that, they are all connected and they match. That's why the teaching is very profound, very deep, and very beautiful, all interconnected. So this
you're very right, because I'm doing the kaya and the feeling, right? I'm not rushing into anything. I'm doing it, you know, patiently in the cultivation.
Correct. So that you establish the understanding.
Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. So when I cultivate in the midst of life, right? Actually, like example, I want to give an example. Yeah. Like when I went out last Friday. So I encountered this scenario, you know. I mean, it actually happened. Wanted to, after my lunch, I went to this store, Pola store, that I want to buy some snacks for breakfast the next morning. So I was in a queue, and because it's a Friday and it's school holiday in Singapore, so the queue is pretty long. But anyway, I'm not rushing anywhere. So I said, So I just stand in the queue. But at the queue now, because we have social distancing, so you have to follow the steps, you know, they give you a box or a line for you to stand, the distance. So I stand, when I stand the last, because I came last, so I stand at the last line, and then I saw a person was at the window, not window, like it's the glass, you know, looking at the snacks and pointing like what she want, you know. So I was thinking, I asked the lady, are you queuing or not? You know, because I just came and I want to know if you are queuing there. I have to stand behind her. No, I'm not queuing, you know. So after that, I just continue to observe other people, what they're doing and things. I enjoy observing, you know, observing.
So because you have the understanding and the Dhamma, you will have joy, you will be very patient, patiently observing and developing the understanding. That's why life becomes different when you have the Dhamma, the mindfulness and the awareness. There is joy. Then the wonderful Dhamma will give rise to wonderful existence. Wonderful Dhamma come from understanding the true Dhamma, true emptiness. Yes. Then it will give rise to wonderful existence. Then life take a turn. It become very meaningful, very, very beautiful, wonderful, amazing. Then has great meaning. There is so much joy, so much understanding, even within the moment. Within that pristine, silent awareness, you can observe the pristine beauty and wonders of life within the reality from moment to moment. And everything is so beautiful, so light, at ease. Your mind is so different. That's why sometimes I used to share with you all at home. I can just look at my house. There's so much joy because the reality, when you really see, it's not the normal seeing with the thinking. I see that moment, the pristine beauty, then I recollect, this is what I can do for the good of the many, my family members, my children, and myself. So this is something my nature can afford. Then I can do it out so that we can have a nice, proper home that we can call home. No need to be luxurious and all those things. It only need to be nice, functional, suit the way we using it. Because space is there. Everything done out very well, very nicely, well planned. We don't have problem, hardly any situation or problem. Then whatever small thing, maintainer need to touch up, we just do it. Then most of the time, this house is already more than 12 years, coming to 12 years. The paintwork are still very, very pristine, very beautiful. It's almost 80-90% like new. And a lot of things are so pristine, so beautiful. That's why you can actually live, really live. Then you have that joy because this is what you can do for your loved ones, your family members and all things. That's why I'm willing to spend that type of money. And it doesn't cost me that much that time. But it's really worth it and beautiful. That's why don't be too like stingy or frugal. When you have the means, make use of it for the good of the many. But don't be extravagant or don't simply spend things and develop the lavish craving. That one is not the Dhamma way. The Dhamma way is to develop understanding and do it based on understanding. And there is so much joy to it. There's sometimes certain things like my wife want to buy the good vacuum cleaner or what expensive, but very useful. That's why I say, go and buy if you need it. But don't just buy because people say, find out, then need it, buy. A lot of things are worth the money on, especially certain type of clothing or shoe or whatever, or even shell or whatever householding. If you buy the good one, it may be slightly more expensive, but it lasts and it has its value. Like the safety set that I bought, the Lorenzo one, coming to 12 years now, still very good. So last time I bought the cheaper one, cheaper by 30%. 5-6 years, you got problem really. The cushion or cannot really. Then after 10 years at the most, I have to change. This one still so good, served me so well. That's why a lot of things we have to learn from life. Then we develop understanding and the Dhamma can be applied. And this is what Dhamma is all about. It's so beautiful. So, okay, Pajang, sadhu to you.
But brother, just to share the full story of it. This lady, she wanted to buy, but she didn't queue. Okay, what happened was, I do not know the beginning story, but anyway, they were arguing with the staff, with the staff. Then because of that, I saw the last part. So anyway, I said, why not you queue in front of me since you came earlier? But the lady, she not happy already. She left. So from that scenario, right, Brother Teo, I have no Dhamma, I'll be like her, behaving like her. But if I have Dhamma, it will be different already. See what I mean? The suffering of human is we suffer and we don't know we are suffering. That's when you don't have Dhamma, you suffer and you also don't know. We have Dhamma already, like me now, I know I suffer in the past. Because I did not have the Dhamma, therefore I suffer.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
So now you can understand why the human mind behave that way. Because a lot of people, they are selfish. Yes. They want to like cut queue and all those things. Then they think they can just go in front and do what they want. If you know the owner, that is different. Then you say, afterwards I come back and collect. And then that one is okay. But if you don't know people queuing, the courtesy is, the understanding is to avoid unnecessary misunderstanding or trouble. You should actually follow the queue where there are SOP and all those things. And I think they have to, Singapore also say you have to check in and all those things.
But because now it's pandemic, the more you have to queue,
follow the queue. Because you have to register. First is to register, then queue.
But in the past, don't have this kind of thing, So it's like first come,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
I mean, it's like you say, like, if you know the person priority, you know, I mean, there's no queue, you know, you just like, you know, you just like,
no, I mean, you can
the staff, you know, you let them, you always go there,
because
then, you
know,
they always serve you first. Yes.
Yeah, no, like frequent customer, you know them.
Yes,
already.
Yes.
And you can
yes,
leave a message, yes, but you don't cut queue. You yes, say, I come back and collect later.
Yes.
So yes, you put in your order, they will take one,
correct,
no problem. Because they only deliver to
yes,
you
yes,
when
yes,
you come back after they finish the one on the queue. So
but,
all this.
But very important to have Dhamma. If you don't have Dhamma,
yeah,
really, you
yeah,
suffer and you don't know you're suffering. You know, you're,
yeah,
you don't know you're suffering.
Your chattering
so,
mind. Radio, must
this
to,
teaching is so very important to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Otherwise, your
but,
chattering
but you
mind
see the beauty
will start
that,
to do all the dialogue. And
yes,
commentary.
Correct.
Yes, comment.
Yes.
How
yes,
can
yes,
this lady like that? So selfish.
Yes, yes.
Sankara.
So you are, yes, you are suffering, you know, with all
yeah,
the sankara plus you
yeah,
are
just like you,
you
came
a
to
lot
understand
of hatred.
Yeah, like you came to understand she is the way she is. That's why she do
yes,
all those
correct,
things. So you
yes,
only need to smile and accept her for what she is. If you are
correct,
in a hurry, you feel that you don't have that time, then you don't need to queue. You can go and buy other thing. Where is just a snack? It can be any other snack. Just like
yes,
that day, Saturday, it was raining. My wife and me and my cousin, we supposed to go for dinner. And because of raining, we intend to go to Starling Mall because they're more conducive. Then we want to try the Rakuzen, the Japanese food. But weekend, we didn't make booking. So we went there, they say, oh, sorry, is it Mr. Teo, is it there are still 8? You may need to wait for 1 hour. Oh, I say it's okay, thank you. No need. We go. We just have something simple. Finally, we go up to the what they call the Waisekai, like that one, or the store. And you call what? Food court, huh? Food court. So we order from the food court. So it's an experience. It's very interesting. I never really try it out. Now they got the round thing that will actually alert you when the food is ready. So you don't have to waste your time waiting there. You order, you pay, then you take that thing, you look for a table, a seat. Then when it's ready, they will have the alarm signal or don't know what. Then it will sound. Then you go and collect. It's so convenient. And my this brother's daughter, my niece, she was so familiar with all this. She helped us collect the food and all those things. She went buy the drinks because they were very familiar. They go to food court very often. It's very good. That's why now with the mindfulness, awareness and the Dhamma, you can be aware in the midst of life. And you learn. This is what I say, exposure to life, to existence, to the reality of life and existence. Then you can see for your own self how society evolved, how the individual behave, how they react to things when they don't have the Dhamma. So all this you can observe, see and understand. That's why the Satipatthana always say mindful internally and mindful externally. This is what the Dhamma is. Internally is about your internal activity, movement, your own Sankhara activity. And externally is the external world, external phenomenal world, other people's activity. Sometimes when your Kaya Nupassana is very stable, it's like you are inside them. All the movement that they do, your awareness is with it. Then you can have the joy and understand, and you can feel what they are doing, whether they have stress or what. If they are skillful, there is no stress. You feel very good and you know, oh, this guy is very skillful. I remember in the early days, I was observing this Cha Kway Teow fellow who did the Cha Kway Teow, very skillful. And I was like inside him, no, my awareness, mindfulness. That's why I can be aware of all this movement. Then the passing car, the specific phenomenon, my awareness and the movement as one. Then the nature's vibration, everything I see is awareness, specific phenomena, awareness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile. That's why when you develop your cultivation until your mindfulness is very stable, you become totally different. Your awareness is so different. You see things, you understand things very different. That is the beauty of the Buddha Dharma, the teaching. So very good, Po Cheng. Yeah? Sadhu
yes,
to you.
Sadhu, brother, yes.
Anything
yes,
else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe you can actually summarize.
Actually, I really agree with Bharatiya. You see, when I see her, I feel the stress, you know, and offer her in front of me, you know.
Yeah, because
the stress is unbelievable. But once I let it go, I feel the pristine, you know, beauty of my feeling again, you know, Bharatiya.
Yes.
You know, so if, when I'm with her, I feel very stressed with her. Then when I come back to myself, I feel, wow.
A lot of Kaya Meita told me that. He said, when they saw this type of people, they remember when they are without Dhamma that time, healers, they are going through the same thing. He said, that could have been her. He said, a lot of them told me. Then they had this joy. Luckily now with the Dhamma, they no longer like lament and become like normal people suffering unnecessary, getting angry, emotional, reacting. So these are
Bharatiya,
the...
Yes, go ahead, first.
No, you go ahead. I finish it. You want to say something?
Actually, because it's late already, although I want to share one meditation reporting, but...
Maybe next session.
I just stop here.
Next session.
Yes,
we are late
correct,
already.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, correct.
So sadhu, let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Okay.